In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Indeed, in this fourth Sunday in Advent, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. King David didn't have to fill out a wish list because he had it all. His enemies were dust under his feet. He had a beautiful wife. He had a grand city named Jerusalem. He had a palace that was the envy of every other king for hundreds and hundreds of miles. He had everything. But then a thought occurred to him. You know what? I should build a house for God. After all, he's still traveling in that tabernacle. You know, God deserves a better house. So David sets out to build God a better house. A temple made with hands that would be so glorious, so mesmerizing to the eyes that it would put that lowly tent of a tabernacle to shame. And so he concluded in his mind, "For God will come down and dwell with us even more if we make everything just right for him down here." Isn't that how we think? I mean, we believe, whether it be impulsively or consciously, that in order for God to come down and dwell with us, his people, we have to set things just right. Our house must be in order. Our hearts must be perfectly open to God coming, shaped only with love and filled with only joy, with a Christmas spirit that powers Santa's sleigh. I mean, we can't let anyone or anything be out of place. I mean, otherwise, God may not want to be with us. And other people don't want to be with us. Why would God want to be with us? And then the sinister thought of, well, we can't hurl our hurts to heaven's door. We can't throw our frustrations at God's slowness to act, to do, to save us now. From our misery, from our misfortune, from the magnitude of our sin and our impending death. No, before God will come to us, not a creature can stir, not even a mouse, and a stocking cannot be hung without a laser level of care. Do you not live with that mindset? I know that I do. I mean, I don't think of it consciously all the time, but I know that I do. And in our day-to-day life, in the mess and the mischief of all that it is, I suspect that there is a sense that things must be right and be put right by us for God to come to us, or so we believe. And not just to clean house and to make sure that everything has its place. But here's the thing, as King David desired, to build a new house for God. And as I think about this, I think of the many straying lambs of our parish. I think of Christians in general that have strayed from the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And I'm grieved and I'm hurt by the fact that they think and believe and have stayed away from the church and not darkened its door because they fear that they have to get their act together, that they have to get their life together, that everything has to be just right before God will come and receive them. But God had an answer for King David through the great prophet Nathan. In short form, this is what the prophet Nathan said to David. Look, and I have been with you wherever you went, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. And I will give you rest from your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is where the Virgin Mary comes in. This is where the angel Gabriel comes in. For since that time that we were sent out of the garden, cursed beneath the enemies of sin, death, and the devil, we have lived with a glimmer of hope. We have lived with a tiny promised seed that would come to bear new life for us. We have lived lamenting and desiring the fulfillment of that promise. And today, that promise has been fulfilled in your hearing. And not only in your hearing, but mystically in the flesh of a virgin peasant girl named Mary. And there, your new home has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. With Mary, we hear the Annunciation, the announcement of Gabriel to her, and with the past and the present saints, all the folk of Christendom, and the Church Triumphant and the Church Militant, we confess in the Apostles' Creed, and I believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, Mary became pregnant by the working or the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And this article of faith must remain within Christian doctrine. We Christians are called to confess and to believe a teaching by which the world sees as rank foolishness and stupidity. Yes, it bypasses the created order of things that God set forth in the garden. When He united Adam and Eve in holy marriage, and He told them to become one flesh and be fruitful and multiply, but here, God does something outside of that created order, but for that created order. And so if you're going to be a Christian, you must believe, and you must do, and you must confess things that other people don't believe, and don't do, and don't confess. Yes, you will look odd. You will look strange. You will be called all kinds of names on account of Christ. And those people will be vexed, and they will be confused, and they will be offended because of your faith and the content of your faith. And that is the case here with the virgin birth. I mean, every woman who conceives a child will say that her pregnancy has resulted in the sexual intercourse with a man. That's how this works. But when Mary conceived, however, she said something different. I'm with child and give birth, but without a man. And so we have the angelic words of the archangel Gabriel. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That is, the Lord saves. Every time you call your Lord Emmanuel, Every time you call your Lord Emmanuel, you confess that Mary is the mother of God. That is, she is the Theotokos, Theos, God, Tokos, bear, to bear God. Our confessions confess this mystery in these words. He, that is God, showed his divine mercy and majesty even in his mother's womb because he was born of a virgin without violating her virginity. Therefore, she truly is the mother of God, and yet has remained a virgin. Mary's womb became the tabernacle through which God himself came into the world. And by entering the womb of Mary, he made the womb, the most holy place of all, because it's here that life begins, is conceived. And not just any life, but here it is life with capital L. Real, true, abiding, eternal life that begins not just for Jesus or for Mary or for a particular person who has things right, but for the entire world, for all sinners who need to be declared right. Blessed indeed were the words of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, when she looked upon Mary and said, "Blessed indeed is the fruit of your womb." For we are far more not Protestants when it comes to our confession of Mary, nor are we Roman Catholics when it comes to our confession of Mary. We are Catholic when it comes to our confession of Mary. But that is another sermon. March 25th, the Annunciation to Mary might well be a good place. But this child, so dear and helpless, we confess is also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the heir to the throne of King David. This is the one whom the Lord Yahweh spoke about throughout the Old Testament. He is your king and he is my king. He rules, but not in power, not in strength, not in show. No, his rule is much more like his coming into the world, like his coming into Jerusalem, as we heard on Advent 1. It's lowly, humble, mysterious. And it is out of pure love that God becomes human for humanity, and he became flesh, and the church bowed its head. He does not seek the perfect human vessel to whom to be united with, but rather takes on human nature as it is, broken, begging, battered for rescue. He answers out of love our laments of how long, O Lord. And he comes out of love, he dies out of love, he rises out of love to love that life eternally that it might be with him forever, as he created it to be in the beginning. And beloved, know that the world does not look upon Mary as God does. And in the same way, the world does not look upon you as God looks upon you. Because to be quite frank, the world looks at you like you are no more than a bunch of molecules floating around, a bag of flesh, a statistic to be counted, one of billions of human beings walking the earth to and fro. Your life has little to no importance or meaning. It doesn't really go anywhere, or maybe a little place here and there. And so you live in a place, you die in a place, and such is the materialism that we have lived with for hundreds of years. This is the worldview that people understand themselves and the world in which they live. And such is life without the self-giving words conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. But that is not how God looks at you. God looks at you with the eyes of His grace. He looks at Mary, and what does He say? Oh, favored one. Literally, oh, graced one. He doesn't favor her because she is somehow better. Favor in the sense that He has chosen her out of pure grace. For Mary will be the vessel by which Jesus will enter your world and save you, taking on your human flesh through the Virgin's flesh. And therefore His eyes turn to you and He sees you not in a materialistic way, but in a created way and in a redeemed way. He sees you in eternity, a lamb for which He goes to die and shed His blood. This mystery was kept secret for many ages. But now it has come to pass. A very pregnant phrase in the Scriptures that you must always remember. For as it comes to pass, God is fulfilling His promises to you. And by coming into your flesh and blood through the womb of the Virgin, God has become man so that you might receive all that He is as God. So meekly does Gabriel see Mary bow her head at His annunciation to her. Meekly does he hear her utter the words, "Behold, I am your maidservant of the Lord." And meekly does he hear Mary, along with all of you, faithful disciples of Jesus, say, "Let it be to me according to your word," or put another way, "Let it be to me as you have said." And so the moment has come, and the great time of God's keeping of all His promises has begun. Begun in Mary, begun in her very womb, the place of life which He shall make His holy temple and His home for the next 9 months, during which His tiny infant heart will beat beneath her very own. Till that moment when the Lord blesses you and keeps you and makes His face to shine upon you and give you peace. That moment that we are all waiting for and desiring that is coming, the feast of His nativity, the birth of God in the flesh. And when this baby looks at her and nestles at her breast and closes His eyes in peace and warmth of her embrace. For here the mystery is also that as Mary will hold Him, so He will hold Mary. He will hold you, His beloved children, and He will welcome you into His new creation that He comes to create and will never end. Lord Jesus, quickly come, and night shall be no more. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all your human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.